Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started. Today, we are actually sitting backstage, Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Maybe Center, 8,000 women, sold out crowd for our second stop of the 2026 By Still Waters Extraordinary Women Conference and Event. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of buzz. We just heard an incredible sound check from our very special guest, Ms. Christine DeClario. She is a recognized and well-known worship leader, singer, songwriter, Dove Award-winning artist, mental health advocate, founder of the Christine DeClario Foundation. She's a partner of ours here at AACC, and we'll talk about some special projects that we're working on with our Spanish mental health coach training program. But today we're going to dive into her newest book, Healing in the Desert, Finding Your Voice on the Journey from Brokenness to Freedom. Christine, my friend, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I feel like I need to say I'm a doctor of something too. Doctor of random, maybe.
Christine.
Just to kind of fit in.
We're honored to have you. We share a common love, and that is mental health care. Mm-hmm. But let me go back to the stage. Zach said in the sound check, as soon as you hit that stage, boom, it's like game time.
Yeah.
Something shifts, you know that, because you walk up and you know that this is an ordained moment of the Lord.
Indeed.
Something's going to happen. I wonder how you move into those moments and what happens inside of your heart and how you look at a crowd out there of 8,000 women. What do you see?
Mm. Well, there's a confidence that comes with learning to trust the Lord. Mm. And there's a lot of work that you have to put into getting to trust the Lord. Because, you know, we know grace is free. And salvation is a gift, but the relational part with God takes some work.
It does.
And surrender is everything when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. And I've been through a few things in which I've had to either voluntarily or forcibly surrender and understand that every time that he asks me for something, every time that he asks me to lay something on the altar, he's always going to do way above I could ever imagine. And so when it comes to coming into an atmosphere and being given the opportunity of platforming Jesus, I enter it with the confidence of knowing that the one I trust is the first one sitting in the audience receiving what it is that I'm giving. And also, I don't minister to people. I minister to him because it's him and I. And then he blesses the people and does his thing. But that's where that confidence comes from. It's like once somebody told me, you really know how to command the room. I'm like, no, I know how to lock eyes with the commander.
Wow,
and that's it's a whole other perspective.
What I want to touch on here for a moment is that it's been a tough go for countless people. So tonight when you take the stage, there's going to be 8,000 women in there that all have stories of brokenness. And I think what's necessary is to realize that we can't neglect our mental health because when we do that, we actually stunt our spiritual health. Speak to what you've learned about the correlation between the two over the years.
How many episodes are you going to do about this?
Come on.
Because I can go.
Uh-oh.
I went way over my word count in that book, and there was still some left to say. But I'll say it this way. When I had my encounter with the Lord, I did what I knew best in my church culture, which was get into the word, get into prayer, get into fasting, and get into all the spiritual disciplines.
Sure.
Because they teach us at an early age, that us church kids, that you have to do to please the Father.
Yeah.
And you become how much you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a very long season, up until 10 years ago, that was the way that I related to God and ministry. I did, therefore I was.
Mm.
And so when I entered into a crisis of infertility, being diagnosed with infertility after 10 years of marriage and a promise of the Lord that we would have children, and then the doctor saying, no, that's not in the books for you, then the struggle happened. That's where I learned surrender.
Wow.
Because I had to come to a point where it could well be that my body would not produce children.
Mm-hmm. And which, by the way, was important to you. You wanted children.
Yes.
You wanted to be a mom.
And God had already spoken to me and my husband and a lot of people in my family.
So in your heart, you're there.
We knew that it was going to happen, but we have this diagnosis. It was all just an opportunity that I could see this now. I couldn't see it then. That the Lord was giving me so that I could lay down something that could potentially become an idol in my life, which was motherhood, on the altar before I entered into cursing myself with idolatry of things. I know what these women in the Bible who begged for children.
Hannah.
Her being drunken with tears, I know what that is. Yeah. I know what it is to go into the wee hours of the night just pleading with God, why? Why? And then when I finally understood and I accepted, okay, the Lord is good regardless. His grace is sufficient for me. And if I am not going to have children grow in my womb, I know he's going to give them to me some other way. Maybe I'm going to be spiritually a mother of someone. Maybe I'm going to adopt children. I don't know. But whatever it is the Lord gives me, I'll be content with. I'm going to stop fighting. And so I lay my unborn child on the altar like Abraham did and just let the Holy Spirit do what he did. And lo and behold, not shortly after that. And I always say, not because of that, because we don't have the capability of twisting God's arm for our miracle's sake.
Sure.
But he's good, and he's a good dad. And the Lord healed me supernaturally at a prayer meeting at church. Mm-hmm. And I had a surgery scheduled to fix, it was chronic endometriosis that was causing my infertility. And so I was filled with scar tissue inside my entire abdomen. Yeah. And it was going to take hours to just clean it out to provide relief from the pain. Yeah. And when the doctor went in, he's like, he reached out to my husband. He's like, sir, I'm really confused. And my husband's like, why are you confused? Like, we're literally paying you to not be confused. Yeah. Like, why? And he said, I'm confused because I knew that I was going to spend at least 4 hours just cleaning everything. And I'm searching and searching and searching for all this scar tissue and nothing's there. All I see is beautiful, precious, perfect organs.
Wow.
Like a teenager womb ready to conceive. Like,
wow.
And he acknowledged and wrote it in the record. People of faith, people of prayer. The only thing that explains the disappearance of this thing is divine intervention. Wow. And so 4 months after that surgery, I conceived my son, Ian. The light of my life. And when he was 6 months old, I conceived Kenzie. So it was like the miracle and the overabundance. And I was like, wait a minute, God, hold up.
What a story.
Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of it, we believe in a miracle-working God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We hold on to that. We cry out. We all do. We cry out for the miraculous every day in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was Einstein that said there's only really two ways to live. One is nothing's a miracle, or that everything's a miracle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in the midst of that journey, and I know you're sensitive here, for those who are maybe on this journey, they'll be there. There'll be a lot of women in this room tonight who are in that. I saw statistics up to 20% of women are infertile.
Yeah.
And men, I want to add that to the equation, that there's just... And what do you say to them in this story, Christine?
I remember when I wrote that in the book, that there was a conversation with my publisher and my editors out of mercy for those that were walking that journey. And I had a conversation with the Lord about it. And I said, Lord, is me talking about this with such security and joy being insensitive to those that are going through this who maybe will never conceive?
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit reminded me, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It could very well be that in the natural, in the reality, you are destined to not see the miracle. But what if the Lord wants to increase your faith with stories like this and change your reality into the truth that he still heals, he still restores, and he still can create something out of nothing?
Wow.
I mean, he did it with me. I was typical statistics. I was not supposed to have children. But somebody else's testimony invigorated my faith.
So what I hear you saying then is just wrap yourself in the love of God.
Yes.
Stay rooted there. And somehow, some way, God does what only He can do and will do, by the way.
And stay anchored in the love of God. Stay focused as that your priority is to love the Lord with every part of yourself. And just let Him do Him.
Yes.
And you do you. We don't have to do much.
Yeah.
We just have to trust, obey, love, and serve Him. That's it. And He does the rest. And He always finds a way to make terrible things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And we will see.
Here's an interesting piece. I want to stop just for a second. Watch this. So many people think that if I have a conversation with someone about the darkness in their life, maybe thoughts of suicide or something, that it may push them in that direction. And they don't want to ever think they contributed to someone taking their life.
Yeah.
So they don't have a conversation.
Right.
But nothing could be further from the truth.
That's right.
Having a conversation can absolutely save someone's life.
They want to talk about it.
That's right.
They just don't know how.
Yeah, this is that they hate life. They hate life
the way it is.
It is. And they're not sure it can ever change.
Yeah.
All they know is it's dark.
Yeah, they don't even want to end their life. They just want to end their pain.
They want to end the suffering. That's all it is. And for me, that experience gave me a very, very high compassion for people that go through suicide. Because I used to think, oh, that person committed suicide. How selfish.
Yeah.
They didn't think about, no, it's actually the other way around.
Yeah.
They believe they're such a big burden to the people they love that they come to know within themselves and their reality that maybe it'll be better for them if the burden, which is me, is not there.
Exactly.
So it's usually an act of serving the other people in their lives as well as trying to end their suffering. Right. And it's a twisted narrative that makes you think, oh, well, win-win. Yeah. If I'm gone, nobody has to carry the weight of me and I end my suffering. And that's a very big lie. And then for me that day, when I'm telling this to my midwife and we're both crying and she's holding my hand, she says, I went through the exact same thing you're describing when I had my kids.
Wow.
And then it was like, wait, what? You?
Yeah, I'm not alone.
You are a spiritual gladiator in my book.
Mm. And you went there?
And you're so well now?
Yeah.
And then she said, yeah.
Look at Elijah.
Yeah.
How'd you get here?
Right. Yeah. Why are you here? How did this happen? Mm. That's exactly what it was for me. It was a big revelation.
There can be so many factors that fuel this. You know, that's the kind of awareness. Again, go back to our love for mental health.
Yeah.
That we want to help bring to the church.
Yes.
I have a concern here, and I'll go back to this evening.
Yeah.
CDC reported that some 57% of our daughters and our granddaughters struggle with feeling persistently sad.
That's right.
Yeah. This is since COVID.
2023.
Yeah, and then they found out that nearly 30% of our daughters and our granddaughters had seriously contemplated suicide.
Yeah.
We don't have a mental health crisis. We have a mental health disaster.
Yeah.
And I just think about that narrative and the father of lies and how he loves to take you to a place where you think that life would be better off without you.
Hmm.
And in your spin, it's like unrelenting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It won't let go. It's got like a
grip on
you.
It was a swarm of bees constantly. For me, especially that suicide thing, it was harassing and demeaning and character breaking. It was horrible. And it literally was like a swarm of bees that wouldn't let up day, night.
People need to hear this. They need to understand this.
Yes, they do.
And the anxiety wasn't allowing me to sleep as much. So I would finally fall asleep maybe 3-4 in the morning. And if I didn't wake up in a panic sweat, I would dream that I was committing suicide.
Mm.
I know the enemy took a foothold into that trauma door.
Yes.
And made it into his cozy apartment.
Yes.
And the intention was that I did not come out of it alive.
Wow.
The intention was to snuff whatever it was that the Lord wanted to do in and through me so that I would be yet another fallen gladiator.
Mm.
Forgotten. And let's move on with the same patterns. However.
But God. But God.
God has a way.
Yes, he does.
Of covering for us when we cannot cover for ourselves. And he knew I wasn't going to say it out of my own voluntary self. So he made it so that the one person who was equipped and authorized in the spirit to pull me out of darkness and into light was there at the right moment, at the right time, and sensitively discerning for my sake. Yeah. And what did she do? She didn't tell me it's all going to be all right. Mm-hmm. She said, this is hard.
Let's go to work.
This is hard.
Here you go. Here is a card for a therapist who is anointed, spirit-filled. She is a prayer warrior first. And she also happens to be an expert at all the issues you're going through.
Come on.
And then she did something extra that is what saved my life. She became a lifeline.
Wow.
She said, okay, here's the card. I want you to go. Before you take the car out, I want you to call and make an appointment. So I call. I know this is very sought after therapist. And nobody answered the phone.
Yeah.
And so an hour later, she's like, okay, did you call? Did you get your appointment? I'm like, nobody's answering yet. Do it again. Mm. I'm going to text you again in an hour. And then an hour she did it. And then I'm like, nobody answered yet. Like, call again. I'm going to text you again in an hour. And for 48 hours, every waking hour, she was either calling me or texting me, making sure that I had gotten that appointment. When I finally got it, I said, yeah, I got the appointment and it's going to be in a month. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I was already entering into postpartum psychosis because I was losing time.
Sure.
And that was my fear, that in that loss of time, I was going to do something either to the babies or to myself.
People don't realize how strong of a draw that really is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's an overwhelming thing that goes in the midst of this.
We need people to step up and to step into this moment for such a time as this. So that way we can train up an army of believers that, again, are clinically excellent, right? They understand a 42-hour training program where it's being able to recognize, respond, relate, and refer as necessary to the mental health needs of today's generations.
Yes.
We need those things, but also distinctively rooted in the hope and the healing power of the gospel.
Exactly.
How I really want to kind of wrap up our time together today, Christine, because I'm going to wrap the last two questions I had kind of into one. I'm just thinking, and it's been a common theme, it's this idea of evidence and the practice of remembrance. This entire book is a journey from suffering to healing to restoration.
Yeah.
But being able to look back and to see the evidence, the goodness, the faithfulness of God in our life time and time again. You were just out there during the soundtrack and you were singing this song about having seen story after story, lived all of these different stories in your lives, but not once has there ever been a moment, has there ever been a time where God has been unkind or unfaithful to you. Close us out with just a pressing word of hope to the person out there today, Christine, who feels depressed, who feels discouraged, who feels disappointed, who feels like they're in a pit of despair, in a wilderness type of moment. Mm-hmm. What's a final word of hope you'd give them today?
I would say to you who are going through a desert, that though the circumstances may tell you the contrary, you are not in the desert to die. You are in the desert to learn how to live. Luke 10 is very clear. Some experts in the law tried to entrap Jesus in his own words, and they asked him, what do we have to do to get eternal life? And his question was, well, how do you read the law? What does it say? And they recited the Shema. The Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love others as you love yourself. And Jesus' answer was, very well, that's exactly right. But what he says at the end is what impressed on me a transformation to understand that the desert is not where I go to die. It's where I go to learn to live. He said, do this and you shall live. So I offer you this. What if you going through the desert is not for you to ask why anymore, but for you to ask what for? And for you to have an expectation that even though you're going through this period of suffering, it is only so that you can partake in the sufferings of Jesus Christ and become an inkling closer to who he is for the sake not just of your healing, but the healing of those that are around you that you one day will see transformed because of what you're going through right now. What if this process is going to turn into a story that will be irrefutable evidence in the face of the enemy that God still allows broken crayons to color beautiful works of art? What if what you're finding in this desert equips you not just with wholeness, but with mantles and weapons and the equipping for the saints of God around you to finally see revival. What if you are actually shedding death and entering into true living? Because at the end of the day, this desert is teaching you that your heart, your emotions, your soul, your spirit man, your mind, your thought patterns, and your body are worthy of having love exchanges with God, not just in the spirit, but in every other area. What if you do this for right now and you learn to truly live? I leave you with that, and I pray that that is exactly what you learn from this desert. I pray that you are not in the desert in an extended time that is unnecessary, but every moment, every grain of sand that gets stuck in your eye is for the Lord to show you how well he can clean you, how well he can refine you, and how well he can use you in the future. You're going to be okay. You are not alone. There is hope for you. We are many who know what healing in the desert is like. God bless you.
Christine, if people want to learn more about your story, about resources, mental health coaching, and so much more, where can they go?
ChristineDeClariofoundation.org. Everything you need is there.
I would hope and pray and encourage every listener, every audience member to make sure that you go, you pick up a copy today, you go find out more, go listen to some music. This is a rock star. You're a game changer. You're a life changer. You're a world changer, my friend. All of us here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, we love you, we pray for you, and we love partnering with you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Very same feeling over here. I love you guys.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.